As it was for David, it is also for us. Humility comes before exaltation or being lifted up. So I was trying to avoid the word exaltation, because here it says, like, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will lift you up. He will lift you up from troubles and problems. That is the thing. He will help you escape the troubles, and you will not be sinking under the troubles. You will be lifted up. You will be helped, and you will be supported by the Lord as you humble yourself. And I think this is the very story that we read. You know that David has been on a run, and the text here from chapter to another, from verse to verse. So it's just narrating to us how David was under God's providence and grace, he was avoiding dangers. And so we have seen how he left Saul when he was trying to kill him. And he ran and he went to Ramah, to Naioth, to be with Samuel, the man of God. And you know the history, how many people were, groups sent by Saul were wanting to kill him. And that was in the last part of chapter 19. And yet the Holy Spirit came upon these men three times. And even Saul himself was paralyzed, not to harm. But actually his intention was really to kill this man. Because after page, he's relentless. And I think it tells us, it's the world in which we live, we will have really issues all the time. Things that will just really pressurize us. But this is what we are to learn, that under God, under our God, and his grace and mercy, and what he has promised us, he is at work always, making us that we don't sink under these troubles, because he is God. Now, there are ways for us to escape dangers. Even death itself is, as Paul said, as I mentioned this morning, to live is Christ, to die is gain, isn't it? But dying under God, so that is the death is an unavoidable, but dying at God's time, and to His glory, and those who die in Him, will see Him face to face. What a grace! That is what we know, that because the power of death has been broken on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ, our resurrected King, he said he's a resurrection. For David here, he has been helped. And as he finished there at Naioth, because when this man became they wake up from the Holy Spirit, so they were not changed, isn't it? But they were neutralized at that moment. So God was just helping and teaching this man. And I think in these things we learn. I told someone a few weeks ago that I used to have nightmares when I didn't know the Holy Spirit very well. And nightmares are so bad. When they come on you, you are losing your breath. Actually, you can die. And I was just like having those. And then every time I would be just holding to my breath. You see, just because my breath would be just like departing from me, I would be just like, and then when my spirit really comes back, I will just get up from my bed and I would just go on for a walk even at night and maybe drink some water. And so nights were bad for me. I hated nights. And so it became to me an experience. So whenever I have this, I don't let go of my soul. You see, I would just go like that. Until the Lord really rescued me and really snatched me from that, and I was set free. And then I came to know His grace. So it's something like this. This man, David, learned really that God is faithful with him. And now he fled from Naioth at Ramah, from Samuel. And he went to be with Jonathan. Jonathan, his friends, as I said, that was divine intervention. But here is a friend who is closer to you. You know that he will do the very best in their power to help you. Well, David is still at run. And so that was what was happening. So he was running. And then he came to Nob. And he came to Ahimelech, the priest, who trembled when he saw him on his own. And this man was able to give him, real, to give him the sword with which he killed Goliath, to be reminded of God's sovereign grace for him, God's mercy for him, and also God's faithfulness in looking after him. That was what happened, because when he was given this sword by this man, Ahimelech, in verse 9, the priest replied, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistines, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one." And David said, "There is none like it," because this sword under God brought deliverance to Israel. Well, you know, this man, Saul, is relentless and he's after this man. And actually in chapter 22, he will kill this man, this priest, who is the grandchild of Eli. He will be killed by Saul. That is what if you go and you read really the whole chapter of chapter 22, when he was pursuing David, Saul came to this man and he accused him of siding with David. In verse 14 of chapter 22, Ahimelech answered the king, "Saul, who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law?" He was trying to persuade him, why you want to kill him? And yet this man wouldn't listen. Verse 16, "But the king said, 'You will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your father's whole family.' Then the king ordered the guard at his side, 'Turn and kill the priest of the Lord, because they too have sided with David. They knew he was fleeing, yet they did not tell me.'" See? So David is not running for nothing. His life is in real danger. But God cares for him so much. And this is what we read from verse 10. Because this man under God, he knew that he was in danger, but he had to flee. And then now in verse 10, that day David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. So now he is just going deep into Philistine. So he was running, and now he's on his own. And when he got there, so he was described as the king of the land. And this is not really is belittling David. He was not really given the proper, really, treatment. He was nobody. And he didn't care. And that is what I'm trying to share with you tonight. He didn't care so much whether people say that he was the king of the land and wishes like more of a local leader, of a chieftain, a leader of clan. But no, he didn't care about these things so much. But he was in tune with his God. So under the prompting of the Holy Spirit, following the Lord's guidance, following him, because that is what he's doing now. He's humbling himself under the mighty hand of God, and God doing the work for him, leading him in the ways that will guarantee him a safe exit and also from this man. And so they describe him like this: the king of this Philistine king of Gath. These are Philistines. And then they said this, they were mocking him: "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't the one they sing about in their songs or dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." So he didn't care of that glory. And I think there is a lesson for us here. The victories of the past are something different to the crisis that we may face today. But in all of them, the Lord God is in charge. All that we need to do is to humble ourselves, to allow him. And because for this man to be just so humble like this, a man who was with many people, who led a war and had a lot of followers, and who has been anointed as the king of Israel, now he is on his own, despised. David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he knew that he was not safe. And now he pretended. Well, in our postmodern righteousness, this is a lie, isn't it? And so even Christians, modern Christians in our time today, they wouldn't want to really take this to heart, these words, as something that they can replicate. Well, you may not replicate this, but this is what really David was prompted under God's. So that was allowed by his grace for him to do that, because that was the only way he could escape the danger. And you know that this man, in his hot pursuit of David, he will come and kill this priest who harbored David. So it's a real danger. And so under God's grace, this man, he was allowed. And you see, David was allowed to do a lot of things that not everybody was allowed to do, isn't it? Eating the food that was given only to priests. You see, so this man is unusual. And he's the man, the Bible says, the word of God says in chapter 13, this very first Samuel 13, 14, that the man after God's heart. Do you think a man after God's own heart will give him up just easily? He won't do that. God has plans to accomplish through this man. And I think this is a lesson. If you trust the Lord, it is not in vain. All that it requires of you is to when you are mocked, you need to believe in the sovereignty of your God, that he is at work to protect you and to take you out of that hard situation. And so he pretended, and even he was just like acting like a madman. He was pretending to be insane in their presence, in the presence of these people who are not godly, and yet he did this. That was God's way. And this man, and you know, these people are not righteous. And that is what we see, that a lot of people look like mad, and maybe they were doing weird things. And maybe King David saw that was the opportunity to be like them, to be an ordinary person. The clear example that I could use is when I was traveling. When I was traveling, I didn't look like I was coming from Australia, a land full of blessings. So all I was using, wearing sports shoes, normal, really, clothes, not too old, but normal. So didn't have really a particular head shave. So I was just like everybody there. And nobody really can know where I was coming from or what background I have, whether I've been to school or not. You see, I was just like normal, like the ordinary people. I was looking exactly like them, darker skin, tall like many of them. You see, and I could go through a lot of things, really, without people taking notice. And that was what happened. I was traveling with my cousin at night, and we were traveling from Khartoum to Sinjar, and they were picking people up randomly, and so my cousin was taken down, and so he said to me, stay. And that took a lot of time. It was 8 p.m. at night. It was dark. And so I took my other bag and I went down and I was trying to find where he was. And there he was being searched. Really, all his clothes was dropped. Maybe just only very light clothes on him. And I came and I just appeared and I said, oh, this is my brother. And because that area is really remote. And then he said, oh, we are just doing normal search. And I said, oh, yeah, I was worried a little bit. And then they said, okay, you go. And we got back. They didn't ask me where I was coming from. I was ordinary. So maybe something like this. David saw the opportunity to act like these people. And that was the very method that the Lord God have allowed him to use. And so let us not devise our own ways, but let us just listen to the Lord and his prompting. And something might be unusual to many people around us, but this might be the very way that the Lord would want us to adopt, so that we can escape danger. And so they accuse him. They said, say, these servants, look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I short of madmen? that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" And then David left. That was the very opportunity he got to go. Well, let me go to the New Testament and to just briefly comment on 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is really a good lesson for us because it teaches us humility and not to hold to positions of glory when the Lord would want us to maybe to act not like kings. So here the Bible says, "Humble yourself, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." Gives grace to the humble. "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time." So we are to humble ourselves so that we can really overcome. We can be lifted up. Because it's only when we humble ourselves that we can be lifted up. Not only that, it's only those who humble themselves who can resist the enemy. Because later on, he will say, "Resist the enemy," and he will flee. He's standing firm in the faith, and he will flee from you. And so this is the ways of faith. We are to humble ourselves to see God's victory, to allow his hand to work on us. But if we are too proud and we try to be sophisticated, we cannot know the depth of his wisdom. We can never know the grace of his rescuing all the time. So this is what David has learned. And we see the danger that is falling on people. Saul is really pursuing him. And in our day to day, the enemy is pursuing us in many ways. That is what Peter says. "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." It's happening all the time, and it will always happen. But the only way for us to escape like David is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Like David, he knew the Lord God, in whose name he came against Goliath, is able to rescue him. And he will always be rescued. He will die naturally when a lot of people are dying through the sword of Saul. We don't want to be slain by the enemy because we have failed to humble ourselves in the mighty hand of our God and to know his victory and his vindication. We don't have to be against people. Saul himself, he didn't say anything. Even he wouldn't mention the name of Saul before anyone. That may have complicated things so much. Maybe those people would align themselves with Saul. "So now you are the person who killed us. So now you have no support. And now we are to come after you." And even when they said, "Why you are on your own?" He didn't even elaborate more. And then now the rescue is coming. Now he's going to have some men to come around him. And so God in his ways, now he's building up David. And from now onward, we will see mighty David who will have many army with him. And so let us humble ourselves and go through small battles and until we have the biggest battle, and then we will overcome the enemy. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, like King David. His humility is needed here. This man, he was king, and yet they would call him like to be like a tribe man, a leader. But he didn't care, and also he acted really out of character, just because God wanted him to do that. So maybe we need this. We need to be humble. We need to be really not obvious to the enemy, to expose ourselves to danger, but to humble ourselves and to be nothing, like Paul said that. He said he is nothing, and yet he is an apostle. So let us trust the Lord. Humility comes before exaltation.